So welcome back to the Wrestling Culture Podcast, everybody. And I don't know why I find this kind of humorous in a certain way, but I do. So here's the deal. We've got all of these computers out there, you know, today. And you've got these countries like Russia, you've got China. And not only that, you've got here in the States, you've got companies like Microsoft and you've got Google. And they're all working on the same thing, feverishly trying to come up with computers that are millions of times faster than the ones that we have today. They call it quantum computing, right? Quantum computing. And it sounds like a great thing, right? And I'm sure it is on some level, right? In terms of what you can do, you know, health-wise. Like maybe you can finally cure cancer with these damn things when they finally come up with them. But on the other hand, it also means, and they know it, it also means that everything that we use in terms of cryptography today to secure our online transactions, you know, things like the way that you log into your bank accounts, your Bitcoin wallet, if you've got any Bitcoin, all of this is going to be vulnerable. I mean, not just vulnerable, but it's going to be able to be cracked. The cryptography methods of those things, the online banking, the Bitcoin, are going to be able to be cracked by quantum computing. And it's just kind of an amazing thing when you get down to it. So you've got this race that's going on, and then at the same time, it's like, oh, when we finally get these dang computers, we're going to be able to hack just about anything? It's a problem, right? Okay. I mean, on some level, you just got to laugh at this. So I want to direct your attention to what's going on right now in the news. There's an article that was written here. It is on CNBC. It's called Hacking Bitcoin Wallets with Quantum Computers Could Happen, but Cryptographers Are Racing to Build a Workaround. And this is published Thursday, June 10th by Mackenzie Sigalos. And when you scroll down into this, there's a quote, and it says, if you had a quantum computer today and you were a state sponsor, China, for example, most probably in about 8 years, you could crack wallets on the blockchain, says Fred Thiel, who's CEO of cryptocurrency mining specialist Marathon Digital Holdings. So this is exactly why, on one hand, you've got people racing to produce these computers, these quantum computers that, you know, this million times faster than anything we've got today. And then on the other corner of the building, you've got these people that are cryptographers around the world that are racing to build quantum-resistant encryption protocol. I mean, the aliens must find this really humorous if there are anything, you know, like aliens out there just laughing away. We're like the reality TV show for aliens, I think humanity is. But when you go down a little bit further into this article, the interesting thing here, you have to put a lot of faith in this. It says Castle Island Ventures founding partner Nick Pointer pointed out that quantum breaks would be gradual rather than sudden. Let's hope he's right. So he goes on to say that we have plenty of forewarning if quantum computing was reaching the stage of maturity and sophistication at which it started to threaten our core cryptographic primitives, he said. It wouldn't be something that happens overnight. So that's a fancy way of just saying, you know, we're on top of this. Don't worry, we're in control here. You know, we've got this under control. I'm not so sure. Fred, I'm sure you're a nice guy, but, you know, we're supposed to believe this. Okay, all right. So who is working on this new cryptography that they hope to come out with? Well, there's this National Institute of Science and Technology, it's abbreviated NIST, that has been working on a new standard for encryption for the future that's quantum proof, said Thiel. NIST is running that selection process now, picking the best candidates and standardizing them. And he goes on to say that it's a technical problem and there's a technical solution for it. Oh, God. Okay. Now I know we're screwed. Okay. So the problem with this situation here, folks, is that something like Bitcoin, it's a technical thing. It's like your Android phones, your in the simplest way of describing it, it's like your Apple phones. These things are dependent on source code. It's the same thing with Bitcoin. It's dependent on source code. It's dependent on upgrades. In fact, they had one in 2017 that went horribly wrong. After the upgrade, you had half as much money in your Bitcoin wallet as you did before the upgrade. Of course, they fixed it. But it just goes to show that, you know, with Bitcoin, things can go horribly wrong. And My problem here is that you've got countries, if not major corporations and hedge funds, that are like, woo-hoo, yeah, here we go. We're coming into Bitcoin. We're going to put billions of dollars into Bitcoin. And, you know what can go wrong when you're talking software upgrades. First of all, you can get bugs in there, like the one that they had in 2017. The second thing is that you can get malicious code. Look at the SolarWinds situation. You know, that huge SolarWinds hack. And this was monitoring software that allowed you to monitor all of your servers. And this is a company that knows hacking. This is a company that knows what they're doing. And I mean, a lot of government agencies used this monitoring software that the SolarWinds put out. And what happened there was that the malicious code got into their source code, and then they put it into their distribution servers, and then they just spit it out to everybody. Here's your upgrade. Yeah, good luck with that one. And as we know, we're still picking up the pieces of that SolarWinds hack. So when stuff goes wrong with software, it doesn't just go a little haywire. It goes big time haywire. So here you've got this Bitcoin. It's highly dependent on an upgrade process. They've got one that they just came out with for Bitcoin called Taproot, and they've agreed to it. And get this, when they do an upgrade, there's five different groups in Bitcoin. You've got the miners, the users, the developers, the exchanges. I probably left one out. But all of these groups have equal authority, and they have to approve these upgrades. They're called consensus upgrades in Bitcoin, and they all have to approve it. So not only could you have a situation where an upgrade gets contentious and they don't agree at some point in the future to do an upgrade, but you could get a situation where they do an upgrade and either they introduce a bug like they did in 2017, or you get malicious code, God forbid, into the system. And then, you know, the whole bedrock, you know, the whole friggin' bedrock of Bitcoin crumbles, you know, because of this. And, you know, we're talking software, and I know there's people that say, oh, okay, poo-poo, that's not, no, they got their hand on this. It's like, really? I'm not buying it. So what's happened recently here with Bitcoin that's been in the news? You've got somebody like John Paul Tudor Jones, and he was a cotton trader going way back, like into the 80s. Made a ton of money in cotton, trading cotton, and he's got a hedge fund now. He's still making a ton of money, let's face it. Well, he came out recently over the weekend and said, I believe that Bitcoin has got a place in your portfolio for diversification. So he's advocating, you know, you should have 5% in gold, 5% in cash, 5% in grains, and 5% in Bitcoin. Now, that doesn't sound like a big news story. Bitcoin reacted favorably, obviously, to it. It went up in value. But the point that I want to make here is that what he's advocating is Bitcoin as a store of value. All right, now that's a hell of a lot more different than what Elon Musk said over the weekend, where he came out and said that Tesla is quite possibly going to start accepting Bitcoin again in their purchases. If somebody wants to buy a car, they're going to start accepting it probably in the near term. And that has a lot to do with this upgrade that they're doing with Bitcoin that they just approved called Taproot. They're still testing it, by the way. They're going to be testing it until November. But one of the benefits of many in this Taproot upgrade is that it's going to let them process the transactions a lot quicker, and it's not going to be an energy hog like it currently is, I think is maybe the reason why Tesla is going to allow it to be something that you can use to buy a Tesla with. But the point there is that that's a transactional situation, right, with Bitcoin. So Elon Musk is saying, you know, we're going to allow this to be something that you can use for a transaction. That's a lot different than saying that I advocate it as a store of value, like John Paul Tudor Jones is saying, for God's sakes. So just imagine, okay, so you've got a currency, you've got this block, blockchain currency, this Bitcoin, and let's say that you've got a country that adopts it as a store of value. They have no control over the code. They have no control of the upgrade process, which could go haywire if they don't agree. You know, all of the interested parties with Bitcoin, if they all don't agree. So you've got a country that's literally sort of held hostage to something that they don't have any control over. And if it does go bad, if an upgrade were to go bad, or if bad code got into it, I mean, that's a situation that you've got there. Not only that, but if you put trillions of dollars of hedge fund money now from different players like Paul Tudor Jones and all of this kind of stuff, if you know you've got a situation where all trillions of dollars starts to collect in these different hedge funds and the same thing happens, now what you've got is a global financial situation, a sort of black hole that sucks other entities into it. We've got a major situation that could cause a lot of global financial disruption, if not, you know, something far worse. So I think that, you know, there's been a lot of money that's been made on Bitcoin. Hats off to those guys. Happy for you. But in terms of a store of value, I think we ought to look a little bit closer at where some of the money is flowing. And the part of the problem is we don't have control over people like Paul Tudor Jones that are advocating, you know, putting this stuff into hedge funds. So this is the money's creeping into these little hedge funds and big hedge funds all over the place. We can't stop it. And if something were to go wrong, we've got a situation. So folks, I want to thank you for tuning in, and till next time.